So anyways, the second car came down the hill, and at that time, another MP team came that they had supposed to been, they had supposed to had already arrived earlier, but for some reason they got tied up and didn't get there. And you know, they always say things happen for a reason. I guess it happened for a reason, because I had gone out to the first car to get the guys. They were on face down and everything, and I was right there with them. And me and my platoon sergeant were both standing there, and we were sitting ducks for these guys to just shoot, you know, shoot us on the spot if they wanted to. And right when they were getting out of their car and going for the radio and whatever, this MP vehicle came right in front of them, and we had the 60 gun on them. So, you know, they weren't going to, you know, argue as much. But they could have easily, if that if they hadn't come, you know, we would have been easy targets right there. But it all worked out, and so after they got kind of calmed down, we got our two prisoners over to our vehicle. And the next thing we know, another PDF car is coming from a totally different direction. And he comes out and he sees what's going on, and he pulls around, and I saw him bring his weapon out, and I saw him shoot. I saw rounds coming from the thing, from his window. And Scott Roth was, Scott Lee Roth is his name, was part of, was in our vehicle. I was, see, I was also, I was a team leader down in Panama, so I had two guys that you know, I was kind of in charge of, and, but they were with, my squad in a different place. When we got down there, the platoon leader had told the platoon sergeant, hey, I want somebody that won't talk a lot, you know, and spread a lot of rumors, and to be my driver. So he chose me, and he said, I want Specialist Thielen. I was a specialist at that time. So I was her driver, so I was with her and the platoon sergeant that night. And Scott, he had had some problems, and he'd just been working around the company, and he ended up being our 60 gunner for us. And when that guy came by, we started shooting at him. And during that firefight, Roth got caught in crossfire and was killed. So you know, that was probably the worst thing that happened, you know, as far as our company. He was what was really wild is he was only 3 feet away from me when he got shot. And I heard him say, you know, Sergeant Allison, that was our platoon sergeant, Sergeant Allison, I've been hit. And I think that was his last word, because they said that they thought that he was killed instantly. I know he knew he was hit, but I don't know if because they said the round went right into his heart. So I guess it just took that second before he died, you know, because, you know, I guess you don't, you know, your brain still works until the oxygen puts coming to it. So anyways, we're out there, and we had to get him, you know, into the back into the vehicle and everything. And LT was all, you know, trying to get everybody to get their stuff in the right position and everything. And so it was pretty wild. And then when we got back, we had to take Roth and our two prisoners back to our company. And it was really wild, you know, how you see Vietnam stories and everything. At the time I was like, I was just really stunned still, you know. But when I got out of the vehicle, I was just shaking. You know, it's like, you know, I couldn't believe, you know, what we just been through. And this one, Sergeant Holt, her nickname is Curly. Sergeant Holt, me and her are real good friends. She was the one in charge of like the motor pool, which is deals with the vehicles and stuff, you know, anything that had to do with motors, you know. So she put her arms around me. She said, "It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right." And it's like, I can't, you know. I said, "This is a real thing going on. I mean, mm-hmm. they're shooting real bullets and everything." She said, "It'll be all right." But it was really wild because I was sitting there guarding these two prisoners, and I had my gun on them, my weapon on them, M16. And it was just like Vietnam, the helicopter coming down, you know, I see the Red Cross and him there taking him off on the stretcher and everything. It was really weird.
Hmm.
But, I mean, still, talking about it today, my heart still, you know, starts pumping pretty mm-hmm. fast and everything. And sometimes, you know, it would still make me cry a little bit. But yeah. It's, I guess, time heals, you know, yeah. some things. But... that was pretty scary, I guess.
It would be.
So, but anyways, and then we were there at our company site for about 2 days, and during that 2 days we had to go down. It was kind of scary. We had to take MREs, which are meals ready to eat, down to the embassy because they didn't have any food, and there was still talk of a lot of snipers and everything out there, so that was a little bit scary, but it really wasn't anything. And then we were there until we were in Panama until January the 8th. Part of another thing we did while we were there was went back to Fort Clayton, I believe was the name of where we were at, and we were there for about 3 days, and we ended up having to go out to the airport and help secure the airport with the Rangers and the 82nd Airborne. And that was interesting because this might gross you out, but they use the freezers, the meat lockers, for dead bodies.
Mm.
It was the morgue and everything. Because, I mean, it's just really weird. And
yeah.
People just don't know what... People in America just don't know what freedom is all about, even in the European countries. Like Germany and Switzerland, they just don't know how good they have it, because there's, you know, there's so many people in this world that they can only dream what freedom is like, mm-hmm. you know. So, but, and then... So we were out at the airport for about a week and a half, and over New Year's Eve, my platoon had to go down to Panama City. This is the actual area. We were down in the ruins, and it was the actual area where actual first Panama City was developed. It was really, really neat. You know, that's where the first Panama City was built, and you could see the, you know, the foundations of the old buildings. But so we were down there as a quick reaction force in case anything took place, you know, because they were talking about trying to tell the people not to shoot off fireworks, and because they were afraid of gunfire getting mixed in with it and people getting hurt and everything. But that ended up okay, and then we got to go back to Fort Clayton with the rest of the company, and we packed up and went through customs all over again, and, you know, we finally got to go home. We got back January the 8th, and we had some time off and everything, and it was pretty wild. But we had a memorial for Roth and everything. They had a big parade for us, the headquarters, Three Corps, that's what it's called at Fort Hood. And we got to go. It took us about a week to make sure everybody got... Well, we got came back as one company. And, but actually what happened, if I'm not mistaken, we were on two planes, I think, and one plane the motor didn't start or something. The motor was... One of the planes wasn't working, so mm-hmm. half of the company came back, and then the next day or so, and the other half came, and then we got to go on 2 weeks leave, and of course that's when everybody was asking me questions all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I had papers coming and interviewing me and everything, so that was pretty wild.
So it was a good experience then?
Good and bad. Yeah, I mean, it it was an experience of a lifetime, definitely. I mean, it's one that I'll never forget. I know, because I know with the situation with Scott, PFC Raw.
Were y'all close?
We were good friends, mm-hmm. You know, real good buddies, and we used to talk about a lot of things. And he had problems with his wife, and he had plans of going on with his life and starting over and everything. And when we went out, he said, "Even babe," that's what he called me. He said, "Even babe, I don't know about this. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not." And I told him, "Hey, it'll be all right. We'll go out and do our thing." And next thing you know, we'll be back at Fort Hood. And it's not 20 minutes later, and he's laying dead. So, I mean, that's just, you know, just one of the things you kind of think of. It's like, why was I wrong, you know? Mm-hmm. But everything happens for a reason, so. I mean, it was his time to go. And it could have just as easily been me.
Yeah.
But, and then we came back from leave. I ended up going to school for a month. It was a primary leadership development course. It's something you have to get your sergeant stripes, which I had been laterally promoted to corporal. It's corporal and specialist to both E4. Corporal is just, you know, a little bit more rank, if you want to call it that. You don't get paid anymore. You know, it's just, you're considered a junior NCO, real junior NCO. And so I went to school and came back, and the brigade commander at the time he was real big on equal opportunity, and he wanted a female driver with a patch. He needed temporary because his driver was going to school, so he got my name and he wanted me to come drive for him. So I went up and drove for him, and nothing really happened until we were alerted for SOTI. I drove for Colonel Hoffman, which he's stationed here at Fort McClellan right now. But I was with him for about 3 months, and then a new commander came in, brigade commander, Colonel Sola. And they already knew the ropes, so they kept me up there just to drive him around until he decided if he wanted me or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to keep me because I'd already been a team leader in Panama, and I'd been to PLDC, and I'd been to the board. I was promotable, so he said, "I'll just keep you." And I drove for him, and about August is when SOTI started kicking up. So as you can see, I still don't know too much about Fort Hood because I wasn't there a lot. It was on my records that I was stationed there for, 2 years, and I still couldn't tell you too much about it. But anyways, in August we got alerted for SOTI, and it's like all over again, you know. But this time it seemed like it's going to be, you know, a little bit more full scale. You know, the first one was just considered an invasion down in Panama, but they were all concerned about the chemical warfare and stuff, mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's just, it was just added stress, and they wanted us there in August, but because they were sending everybody from Kentucky and Fort Bragg and everything, all the planes were designated for those guys going over.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up not flying until October 14th. So we got there, and I stepped off the plane. It's about high noon, 114 degrees. It's hot, boy, mm-hmm. And I felt like I was stepping into an oven. But eventually, you know, we had, luckily, the way the game plan worked, you know, we were there for a couple of days, and, you know, for a while, and we were able to acclimate ourselves, you know. And nothing really happened until wintertime anyway, so it was, you know, it was pretty decent weather. It got chilly over there. You think the desert, it's hot all the time, but it gets cold. It got down in the 30s you know, in the 40s, and of course after 114 degrees, that's cold. I mean, mm-hmm. that's like below zero, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but we ended up being there for 8 months. And that was, I mean, we got there and on October 14th, and when we started out, we didn't have barracks or anything to go to live in. We had all it was a big paved parking lot, and there was a barn, and they, on one end they had, the army term was a shit house. The shitters and the pissers is what they're called, but they had the, you know, the bathrooms down, you know, on one end, and they had the showers and everything up on the side, and there was only one entrance for in and out. And what it was where they store their barley, and they just cleaned out all the barley and all it was. I mean, it looked like a huge Walmart parking lot, or, you know, it's, that's what it was. It was asphalt like that.